up again. Computer class, yeah, tell me your name. It's now the time. We grow with each other every day. It's beyond us now. Can't control ourselves most.
Welcome everybody, we are back after a 2-week hiatus. The best in the business, going at it again. Talking TV, movies, and having some fun along the way. Of course, we're on the smoke is clear as far as what happened at Game of Thrones, and we're going to be spoilerific conversations about Game of Thrones, what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like over the last two episodes. Looking ahead, of course, to next season. A couple of small movie stuff we're going to get into, but let me first introduce my co-host here, going to help me discuss all this and break this down. Starting, of course, with the man to my left, we got the head of the GirlsLife.com studios, Mr. Mike Rose.
All right.
And, of course, coming at us from Houston, of all places, who we want to obviously, on behalf of the mentors, obviously give a shout out, and hopefully everything's going okay for most folks on this Texas area. I know it's been kind of rocky out there because of the hurricane, right, and all that. And Chewy, Chewy's
right in the middle of it.
He's right in the middle of it. Seen it firsthand. They didn't quite stop him from seeing Game of Thrones, because God himself couldn't stop us from watching Game of Thrones, no matter what their circumstances. How dare he interrupt the show?
So I think his nickname this week is going to be Aquaman.
So Chewy, welcome, man. Thank you for joining us under the circumstances. I know you didn't get hit as hard as others, and you know, prayers out to them. Hope everything's okay, that's of right. course. But how you doing, man? How's everything going out there? How's the flood treating you or whatever?
Not well, but glad to be at least passed through most of it. Lucky, grateful, thankful, and happy to be back.
It's good to have baskets. No, nothing wasn't as bad for you anyway, so that's good, obviously.
You know, we're here. Luckily, I'm definitely in the minority.
Unfortunately, you're in the minority, so, you know, we're here, hopefully, you know, let's play a little fun, have some fun here, you know, keep people's minds off, and yours, Chewy, as well. I know you need a break from what you've been going through the last few days.
No Joel Osteen jokes today.
You know, exactly. So, but, you know, as I say, the show must go on. We appreciate you coming on and joining us and all that. I know Game of Thrones is, you know, it's hard for you to miss that kind of show,
That's right. Extremely important.
You know, but we're here, you know, so we're obviously GirlsLife.com studios, where our wall will not be torn down by the Night King and his blue flames and all that. We'll get into that later. And, of course, I do want to mention my condolences, of course, first of all, to any members of the Littlefinger family out there. You know, it's a very sad and tragic event.
Littlefinger family.
I wish you guys the best, and I will hope to, you know, we'll pray. My prayers are with you guys.
The Baelish family.
You know, the Baelish, you know, all that. So hopefully, you know.
He went out like a little bitch,
dude. But, you know, hey.
Let's get to that later.
We're going to touch on that. For those, obviously, like I said, we'll do a couple quick movie things for you guys who haven't seen Game of Thrones. If you're fans of the show, I can't imagine you haven't seen the show by now. But for those who are just heavy spoiler warning,
no, we're discussing.
Watch the first 10 minutes. Hear the first 10 minutes of the show. Come back to us and catch our in-depth analysis of what we've seen the last couple episodes. But first, I want to get a couple of things. One, you know, our Christmas season is over. You know, that is the summer movie season.
Right.
This is a big season for us movie lovers.
Although, you know, the fourth quarter has turned into kind of a...
It has, as of late.
Kind of a mini summer.
Yeah. It kind of, and this year is huge, but we'll get into that down the road.
You got Thor Ragnarok.
You got a bunch. Justice League, Star Wars, and Blade Runner, Kingsman.
You know,
so we got a lot of movies coming out, so I'm excited for it. But this must have been atrocious. But... You know, this is horrible. But I mean, for the most part, summer is usually from May through September, sometimes August, not this year. But I got to say, overall, I'm not getting everyone's thoughts. Overall, I thought this was one of the best summers we had in the last couple of years. Think very good summer. I think more so because the movies we wanted to be good, at least in my opinion, they actually hit.
Good.
They actually did well. There was a few disappointments. There was a lot of crappy movies, but we knew they were going to be crap, i.e. Transformers or King Arthur or whatever the case is. But the movies that were going to hit, whether it be Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, Guardians, whatever, I think they all hit well. So I think there was a little disappointment.
Okay. I will tell you this. I really feel like the Marvel formula is kind of, they need to, you know, get some sriracha out or something and do a little spiciness there, because... I really feel like it doesn't have that new feeling to it to me again, and I think it's, I'm starting to get like more of the same. This yeah. we talked about.
Status quo.
We had spoilerific conversation mm-hmm. about Spider-Man already.
Sure.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. It's a good movie. There's a lot of things about it that I think aren't as good as it could have been, and maybe I'm spurled. I don't know. You know, it's just like. You know, you feed somebody. If I'm eating in the chef's kitchen every day, when somebody brings to me to McDonald's, I'm going to start turning up my nose, right? So,
well, not the fries though.
Right, right. But I think you're on board with this theory. They need to do something. They need to pivot. I'm not saying that they need to change everything. I think that they need to think. They need to start. They need to do some better writing.
I will answer that yes and no. And yes, on a personal level, yes. However...
Wait a minute. On a personal level, yes, but what?
But however, if I'm working for the studios, right, those movies are money-making machines. There's no need to change it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Oh, from their perspective, I'm like, listen...
Okay, I got
you. You know what I'm saying?
That.
Yeah, yeah, I'm saying that. I get why they don't change
from a profit.
Yeah, because they're
but,
all
but you know what? This
tons
is how,
of money.
This is how institutions like basketball... failed in the 90s, okay, to me, is they started leaning on Michael Jordan a little too much, and then by the end of Michael Jordan, well, actually, when Michael Jordan went to the White Sox, you know, he quit for a while, and then he came back with Charlotte, or actually came back to the Bulls,
and then
went to Charlotte,
yeah, yeah.
But by the time Wizards. He got, the Wizards, Wizards, sorry, yeah. sorry, he owned Charlotte, mm-hmm. but by that time, the basketball had kind of gone into this funk, and, now it's finally back, but I'm just saying that when the league starts to lean on one thing yeah. too much, I feel the same way with Marvel. If they start leaning on that formulaic thing, if you look at this, kind of started after Winter Soldier. It kind of started with Avengers 2. Winter Soldier was a fantastic movie, and mm-hmm. Winter Soldier is 5 stars, in my opinion. Very good movie. Civil War, decent, not as good. You know, Doctor Strange, it's okay. And you know, that's kind of the way I felt about Spider-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I thought there were some missed opportunities. And we've discussed this ad nauseum, and I'm not going to go into the villain issue, but I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I agree with you from a personal standpoint. I get why they do what they do, so it is what they're not going to. I mean, that day we might see some big changes after Infinity Wars. And see how they.
Well, let's see how that's going to happen.
Right, what phase they bring in, how they bring in, who will be the feature. I don't know if Robert Downey Jr. will be around.
If they don't open up a can and pull out a huge movie for those two, there's
going to
be.
They're going to. I have no doubt. I think it's going to be great. I have no reservations about it. They're going to knock out of the park. It's going to be fun, great. I just, after that, I want to see what direction they go. And that's what I think the changes I would like to see from that point. But that's a couple of years from now.
Okay.
But overall, like I said, overall...
Sorry, I didn't mean to go off into a rabbit hole there.
It was a good summer. It was really good. I mean, I mean, as far... I know, obviously, I've probably seen more movies than both of you guys. But just off the top of your head, just start with Chewy. Like, what were the top three this year? As far as just summer movie season.
And well, obviously, I don't have the pleasure of going to movies for free. So
it is what it is, homie.
Well, hey Chewy, you can still do it if you sneak in the back.
You know, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to be the Night King, dude.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna touch that comment, but hey, you know, I didn't know. I mean, obviously, I heard about a lot of good movies like Dunkirk, which I never got around to seeing. Mm. Unfortunately, didn't get to see Planet of the Apes, which I really wanted to see. Obviously, I really liked Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoyed Guardians. I just saw it, you know, last week before the hurricane. We, you know, video, DVD, whatever, Blu-ray and stuff. But I just didn't have a chance to go and see. Obviously, from a consumer standpoint, I don't have the money to go see every single movie I want to see. I have to wait for it to come out later on.
Right.
But those are the ones that stood up to me as far as summer season.
And it's funny you mentioned about the whole movie. And this is a quick plug for next week's show. We are going to get into three topics, which... talk about the future of theaters and movies in general,
yes.
and three game changers potentially in three different, complete different ways. So next week's show, I want to get some good conversations about that. I'm glad, Chewy, you brought that up with the money and how much you can see. So we're gonna dive into that next week. Have some good conversations about that. So, Mike, what about you? What were your big three, man? What were you?
Okay, so Wonder Woman obviously was excellent. I felt like it was fairly close to being a complete movie. they're, you know, bugaboos, whatever. But, you know, I really like John Wick 2. I thought John Wick 2 was
summer.
It's a summerish movie.
No, come out in February.
Okay, well.
That's a Groundhog Day movie.
if Christmas is now, February is this summer, dude.
Really? Christmas is all year long, apparently.
I'm going with John Wick 2. No, I'm going to say I thought Spider-Man was very good based on the performances of Michael Keaton, and I felt like there was just some good stuff in there. It was a good movie. It wasn't a great movie. Good, not great. Let's see, what else? What did I see? Crumb.
I've seen a lot of stuff. I mean,
I haven't seen Dunkirk yet, so I need to see that.
Apes.
I didn't see Apes either.
Transformers, so. Pirates?
No.
That wasn't up there.
I saw Pirates, but that wasn't up there. But it wasn't bad, actually.
No, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it's not my
Listen, I'm going to step out.
It was okay.
I'm going to step out of the weirdness and say Lost City is I saw this summer and I really liked it a lot.
That's fair. So, I still haven't seen it. I heard it's good.
You got to see it.
I just saw it on Netflix, and yeah, it was a very good movie, really? By the way.
Okay. Yeah, I want to catch it. I've seen a couple of the small ones. I just haven't been.
It's not a small movie, dude.
Small release.
But I mean, as far as when it comes to the way they set it up, it's...
No. I'm saying like just a limited release movies.
Kind of a sweeping movie. It's good.
Independent, I guess you want to call it.
But, I'm good with that.
For me, I'll say honorable mention Spider-Man. I mean, I like Spider-Man, I like Guardians. Yeah, no, those two are there. I mean, I like both of those movies a lot. I'll probably put Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
My three. That was really good. And I've seen it twice. It's really good. I liked it a lot. You're right. In the end, okay, it falls apart a little bit. But not the worst thing in the world.
No.
A little bit
like Captain America, honestly, with... except kind of in reverse, right? So
right with the first, yeah, right, the first one, right, yeah, right. Okay, yeah, no, I enjoy a lot. That was a really good movie. I'll do an honorable mention to Baby Driver. If you guys haven't seen that, I highly recommend that.
I'm looking for Baby Driver. Yeah, and
it's so good. Yeah. I could switch to Baby Driver and Wonder Woman if I wanted to. I mean, the movie's that good. Planet of the Apes was my second. I really like that one. I'm shocked it didn't do well in the box office. I think I know why it didn't do well in the box office. But and I had Dunkirk number one. You know, no doubt. No, Dunkirk's awesome. Like, you guys haven't seen it yet. It's just a great... I mean, it won't be the same watching it at home. I'll tell you right now. But it's still good.
No, it's still great
to watch it at home. It was such a great, technically, perfectly executed movie. That's a great narrative. I mean, you guys enjoy it. You guys are Nolan fans. That's great, no doubt. But it was a good summer. It was a really good summer. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of good stuff. You know, I know the box office was down. We'll get into that next week. But it was good. Luckily, like you said, this is usually a time of the year where we'll be bored until December. There's tons of stuff coming. Yep. A lot of good buzz on it. I'm excited about a lot of
did
good
you,
buzz
did
on
you
it.
Did you hear about the theater full of clowns?
The clowns, yeah, I saw it. They actually had, for those of you who don't know, they had a screening in at the Alamo, Texas. A screening for a special screening for those who came as clowns or professional clowns. One or the other,
no,
I forget.
No, you had to dress
up as a clown, and you got to go watch it. Right. So they're making a big push, and there's been a lot of early tweet reviews, and it's been stellar so far. Kingsman's coming out September as well. And of course, we got the Big Movie Store and the Justice League. And, you know, we got Pixar coming out. We got Blade Runner, Star Wars, of course. So there's tons of stuff to look forward to. So I'm super excited about that. But let's move on to that was some good. We got to do some bad. What the Fudge, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I got
did we do a What the Fudge last
we had, time? Of course, didn't we? We had Luc Besson.
Oh, that's right.
Who has the stupid Frenchman has company this week, apparently. Oh, making room in the idiocy hotel here. And this is his second time around, James Cameron. Yeah, obviously, he had his fiasco with the Terminator 3 thing, which I talked about, the new Terminator trilogy, whatever. So, James Cameron can't help himself. And I love James Cameron. I'll be perfectly saying that.
The comments that he made
He saw Wonder Woman. I guess they had asked him about it. And this buffoon starts talking about it. He liked the movie, but he felt it was a step back for women. It's the same old thing. That she's not... He was completely objectified. Blah, 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 blah. And make matters worse, of course he tosses in, Well, not like the one I came up with, Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2, where she's strong and, you know, she's relatable. She's a bad parent, but, you know, she did the best for a kid, yada, 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 yada. That's a real woman's hero, apparently.
Right, and instead, she was wearing a tank top with no bra.
Yeah, right? No, exactly.
He didn't objectify anybody.
So I was like, really, dude? James Cameron, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? I mean, yes, is Wonder Woman beautiful? Oh, obviously. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a character. This is an old character. Of course.
And Wonder Woman didn't work because she's hot. For that, we put Megan Fox, I guarantee. That movie blows. You know, she was good as. I don't see no one praising Megan Fox in Transformers. She's hot. Of course she is. But, I mean, it's because of the role she played and the character that was created. It was strong. Women loved it. Guys liked it. And that's the reason why the movie's number one in the summer.
It was a great movie.
What the hell he's talking about? And it doesn't have to be just a Linda Hamilton-esque or Ripley-esque kind of character, which he's done. I give him credit for that. He was the forefront of putting women in the front.
He didn't create Ripley.
But, I mean, he still portrayed them differently than what women were portrayed back in the 80s. But either way, there's nothing wrong with Wonder Woman. It's not a step backwards. It's ridiculous. It's dumb. It's dope.
You know what it is? He's anticipating both his movies getting killed in the box office.
Oh man, he's just digging himself a hole. Right, it's buffoon. It's idiotic. I mean, come on, man. This is the times where let's get out of the cave. I get it. You know what? And he actually said he liked Wonder Woman, which I don't know why those comments were sparked to begin with. But be that as it may, come on, dude. For real. He's making look but sound look real good now. I'm telling you right now, dude. We got a sexist and an anti.
Jesus.
That's the reason for James Cameron to complain, Not Wonder Woman, for Christ's sake. So, God, unbelievable. So let's get off that. Let's get us into the good stuff. Let's get to the good stuff.
Yes, please.
All right, Game of Thrones. Here we go. This is what this season finally came to an end. A short season, unfortunately. We need the music too. Either way, Chewie, you want to cue in the music?
I was doing it. I was actually doing the final countdown thing, man.
The what?
The final countdown.
That would go great with a dragon flying in the background.
Yes.
So as it ended, it's bittersweet. We have to wait another. I don't know, year and a half or whatever the hell we got to wait to.
Right.
Maybe longer.
Who knows?
I heard 2019, by the way.
That's the rumor. Nothing's been confirmed. So I heard they might start filming in October. But that being said, the earliest it would be almost a year. So I don't think HBO will release it this late. They may just wait till next year.
They're not going to do it over Christmas.
They're not. They got Westworld's been released next year around this time. They're not going to cannibalize themselves. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, if they can do it fast. A movie takes 36 months to do, and that's a two-hour movie. This is essentially a six-hour movie.
It's going to be more than that.
Heavy post-production work around it. So I think at least 6 to 8 months of filming.
From what I heard, the last two episodes at least are 90 minutes or 87 minutes or whatever.
No, it's going to be a while. If it's something next year, great. But either way, we'll talk about that once it's officially announced, I'm sure, sometime in the next few months. But I will say this, though, and I won't get too much into it, but I do have to throw out, and I told you so, to these yodels here, my co-host.
Actually, the term is yokel.
Yodels. Hold on. Let me finish. You know what I'm going to get to here? Where it was a few episodes back, we got a fat man, Sam, there, talking to, Gilly. About where she read the passage, the magical passage in front of her face, about the secret marriage. And I said, they're going to use the stupidity and bring it up. Like, hey, I saw that thing. You guys were like adamant that they weren't going to go that route.
Wait, because he
you guys said, no, that's not going to happen. And I told you, fools,
but you know what?
That's exactly what was going to happen.
Right, but did I tell you, though?
And it ruined that. That scene was a waste. We'll get to that scene.
That's in episode 7, and we're talking about episode 6 first.
I know, but I just want to throw it out. I told you so out to you guys for doubting me in that. And I threw a bet on that. I know you guys were crazy thinking that wasn't going to be the case. And I knew it was so obvious. But either way, so let's talk about first, just before we get into the specifics about either episode and overall, I want to get just your overall thoughts. We'll start with Chewie. Overall thoughts. Don't get too specific. Just keep it general as far as what about the season itself and, you know, what was something that stood out, something that didn't, and what have you.
I enjoyed it from beginning to end. I yes, there's issues, but it didn't detract from me from enjoying it as a whole from 1 to 7.
What do you think is, would you, was one of the better seasons overall, would you say? I mean, just out of curiosity, or?
It's different because it's hard for me to lump it in with the other ones because of the issues, not so much with the writing, but with the pace and the shortening where seasons 1 through 5, I mean, they set the bar high, very high, and they kept exceeding it because of the writing and the setup and the pace. And now this has been so condensed and so, not rushed, but just kind of going from location to location, to story quickly. You know, there wasn't any time to savor the meal, you know?
I totally agree, Mike, what just overall.
I think he's right on the mark with this. However, I really think out of all the seasons that this is probably not the best one. I have to tell you, there probably isn't a better bookend set of episodes than last year's episode 9 and episode 10 with the Battle of the Bastards and the episode before
the finale.
So I mean, it's tough to top that. I thought this season was decent. I had huge problems with the timeline issues. I had huge problems with a lot of the fan service that seemed to me was taking place, that I felt like things were getting wrapped up in a pretty little bow.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a huge issue with that. However,
yeah, that's
still
not fan service. That's just the writer's.
No, it's fan. It's fan service.
It 7 hours and
there's
hours.
A couple of things without.
It's absolutely fan service.
There's a mixture of both, and we'll get to specifics in a bit.
But here's my take on this. It's still better than anything on TV, pretty much right now that's on TV. So I'm not going to complain too much. I am going to complain about episode 6, though.
We'll get into
that. We'll talk about
that. There's a lot to complain about.
Right.
I mean, I agree. I think overall, yes, I liked it. It was a good season. It was a good season. I was disappointed because you're right. This is the best show on TV. No one disputes that. Well, you can dispute it. You'd be wrong. But
what show is out there right now?
Well, I think it is. I don't think it's that better show.
I will tell you this. If next season is a reflection of this season,
one show.
No. What I'm saying is that Breaking Bad is definitely a better series.
Oh, yeah. We talked. We said.
No. But I'm just saying. Remember, I was kind of like saying no way. No
right,
way.
Right. It depended on how it ended.
Right.
That was the contingent of how this was going to end. Yes. And I think this show competes with itself now, and that we expect so much, and rightfully so. And I think they let us down a little bit because it was rushed.
Look, man, you know, HBO's not cheap either, bro. I mean, for people like regular Dick and Harry's.
The fact that the biggest detriment is that the shortened season, unexplicably why. I don't know why they would do it. It's not like they're not making money off the show.
No, they're making a ton of money.
That's what I'm saying.
They just want to make more money.
Yeah, why wouldn't they want to extend that and make more money?
Well, no, their excuse was they were going to make longer episodes. And honestly, we had two longer episodes.
Two long
ones,
that one short one.
And one,
yeah, but this
short.
Is not an issue of HBO. This is the Double D's issue with not wanting to write 10 hours of a season.
Well, that's fine, but you hire somebody.
HBO never told them, no, guys, shorten it, cut your budget. They've been getting more and more money every year.
Of course.
Because they're making bank.
Right.
So HBO had nothing to do with, hey, no, you guys need to cut it down to 7 episodes. Absolutely not.
Well, no, but I mean, but at the end, it's still their show. I mean, and they say if HBO tells them we're paying you for 10, they should do 10, in my opinion. Whoever the writers and showrunner,
I agree. And HBO would have paid them.
Well, of course, they would have paid for 20 if they could. But I think I heard this. I won't take credit for this. I'm not Sam. I won't take credit for someone else's findings. We didn't tell you later. But someone mentioned where the show went from Game of Thrones to Dungeons and Dragons this season.
I don't know about that.
And he didn't mean, it's a hyperbole, but he's been saying we're used to a certain style, a certain pace, certain writing, and the show all of a sudden just gave us something different. Not that whether it wasn't good, I still enjoyed it, but right. I get what he's saying, that we lost some of the storytelling.
Two different shows.
Exactly. It's helped some of the same tropes we see from other TV shows, which Game of Thrones stood away from.
You would complain about the pace before. I'm like, don't complain about it. It's a good pace. It sets up everything as a season as a whole, and you kept saying that you didn't like, you hated the pace, it took too long, why did it waste time going here?
Sometimes.
Going there. And those are your words exactly.
No, I don't. Sometimes it did. But I agree. Sometimes it did, but
that's
now.
Not an issue.
But now they went too extreme too fast. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a happy medium. There's a happy medium between both.
I'm just, without mentioning, because we haven't talked about the episodes directly.
Yeah, which we'll talk about. Go ahead.
What I noticed this season, like you mentioned, I heard you say the word TV tropes. I agree with that 158%.
Yeah.
They went with a lot of lazy writing and TV tropes in this season. Yeah. And a couple times to the detriment of the show, in my crappy opinion, especially in episode 6, which was filled with just...
Oh, man. We'll get into that, but yeah.
It was a cavalcade of silliness.
And we're not used to the show doing that. And that's a letdown is. And even the fact they do it, it's still a great show. I'm not saying it's not. It's just not at the quality we've been promised.
It's you go from... You go from not knowing which one of your favorite characters is going to get aced to nobody getting aced. And we're going to talk about episode 6 in a minute. But I was so disappointed with that episode on a lot of levels.
I just think, we'll jump ahead when I just think that like I mentioned before, George Martin not having that blueprint in front of them really handcuffed them. They didn't know where to go. If George Martin wrote these, people would be dying. Guaranteed we have bigger surprises. Not these stupid TV
people
tropes.
People would be pissed off. Girls would be pissed off.
Oh, my God. And that's what part of the appeal of the show was. You didn't know what was going on. I mean, from the beginning. And they built these heroes up, whether it be Ned Stark. And then he got actually like, what? Ned Stark? And Rob Stark and Lady Stark and, Tyrell. On and on. People were dying left and right. And now it's the part of the appeal. Who's going next? Oh my God, someone's. We talked about before the beginning of the year. We're like, okay, who's dying? And nobody dies.
Condolences to the Littlefinger family. The Baelish family,
the dragon. But that being said,
but he didn't die either.
We didn't die either. But so it's a lot of things that just we didn't get to see what we used to get to see from the show, which we loved about the show. You know, so it took a step back, but it was still a great season. Don't get me wrong; it was fantastic, and we got a bunch of dragons. I can hardly complain about that.
It was still must-watch TV weekend.
Of course, I agree.
That's nothing that either of us are saying.
No, I absolutely agree. At the end of the day, we're talking about greatest shows of all time. Right. This is the kind of season which may prevent us saying, "Oh, this is the best, hands down, no questions that." Now the debate lingers, but again, it's silliness. But again, we like a show this much. These are the kind of talks we're going to have, obviously. So, but let's get into a specific. Let's jump in the first episode. Episode 6, I'm sorry. A couple of weeks back. And I have bittersweet. Man, I'm so torn with this episode. I love it and I hate it.
I didn't love it.
I know, Mike, you called. What did Mike, it's true. What did Mike say about
A bag of shit.
A bag of shit, he said.
No, I think it was a little more
hot-loaded. Wasn't that bad.
Okay. I want to clarify my statement.
I mean, we're not talking about the Iron Fist here, man. Relax.
For real.
You want me to go on that? No,
let's not go on that. Although he does have GOT lineage, let's not go on that.
I just want to say that there's just that episode in particular is kind of a signpost of the rest of the season, which was disappointing to me on one hand, but on the other hand, the needle got moved on the map in places that I liked. So I can't. And also, in the writer's favor, there was a lot of great one-liners in that episode.
I would say this. I meant to say this earlier. Besides, yes, there's some really stupid things on this season. Just dumb. Which I can't consider. However,
very trophy.
Yeah, however, the dialogue has been phenomenal.
Yes.
You know, and I think
the only dialogue that suffered, and I think it suffered because I have personal issues with this particular actress.
Okay.
Ooh. I was going to say actor because I just think that you should call anybody an actor.
Agree.
I really felt like the Danny John scenes were not good. There is a lot of back and forth. Her acting ability is specious at best, in my opinion.
She's okay.
She's a beautiful little girl.
Yeah, of course.
But she just looks silly now, and she doesn't emote well. And there's I have a bunch of problems with her in particular.
That's fine. I know you've never been a big fan of her from the beginning, so I get it.
She's a beautiful girl.
No, but for the most part, because we got a lot of these reunions, which we'll get to in a minute, and the dialogue back and forth, I thought was great. It was really well done.
Lena Headey, on the other hand, is fantastic.
Tyrion, fantastic. Yeah. Peter Dinklage was great. Right. everybody has been really, really, really strong. Even Littlefinger before he died.
Right.
Really good performance. But as far as the conversations and the dialogue, that's been fantastic. And we got a lot of that at the beginning of the episode, this episode, where you had the Magnificent Seven, if you will.
Plus the
Avengers.
Plus the Three Nights Watch red shirts.
And yeah, the Yeoman Johnsons.
Yeoman Johnson.
You know, we got beamed in apparently from wherever.
I don't get it.
It's bad. But before we get to that, we had Jorah talking with Jon Snow. Great conversation. That was great.
Actually,
with
they the sword all and the
father. Really good.
Freaking Derek Von Der. I'm sorry. Beric Dondarrion. Had a great conversation with Jon Snow, too.
Yeah.
Had a great... And Tormund had an awesome conversation with the Hound.
The Hound.
The back and forth
back
between
and forth
them.
With Brienne.
It was something really dirty, but it was great. He was talking about that to some... I think it was Gendry or something, and Gendry was like, oh, you don't have women up here? And he's like, ah, sometimes you don't need women. And I was like, oh, man. By the way, Chewie, you'll like this. Gendry, the greatest cross-country runner in the north of the wall.
Usain Bolt of Westeros.
Where did that come from? Dude?
I mean, I told Chewie, we had Michael Phelps, Braun, Usain Bolt, and we have if I knew a javelin throw, I wouldn't say his name, but I don't.
the greatest cross country runner in all the seven kingdoms.
I'm saying these guys with the Olympics, they win every gold medal year in and year out. Fencing and their speed and long distance running.
Day or 2 days, right?
I don't know.
I'm not sure how long this was, but Jon Snow looks over him and says, "Gendry, you're the fastest one among us.
I guess
you run back." I'm like, what?
How did he know he's the fastest one? But either way, maybe they had a race in there somewhere and they figured it out. But
then it was like, they should have played Chariots of Fire.
If this episode would have broken up over two, I think that would have addressed a lot of the issues you're bringing up.
I agree.
And then the world's fastest ravens.
It was the ravens and the
lightning fast ravens.
The dragon. I mean, there was a lot of...
Yeah.
And yes, are we getting nitpicky? Sure, but a lot of this stuff adds up. You got a couple of things going wrong. Okay, big deal. I let it go.
Right.
When you have like 20,000 things, then it gets piling on here. And you're right, on an episode where it should have been two episodes long.
Right.
Yes.
It got much better effect, much better build-up.
But this is the same thing as you go to the north, to the Black Keep, right? You're going from Dragonstone, which is on the other side of the continent, to the Black Keep. You're like, hey, now, come on, it's starting to bend my.
It's convenience,
right? I get that too, but why don't you make Dragon? You know, they have control of where they put these things on the map. It's just, to me, it's stupid, and I don't know why they do it.
They're painted against the corner because now they only get seven episodes and they have no choice, unfortunately, which is why I'm really concerned about next year. We'll get into that later. But it's just like they have to rush and hurry and you don't get that good story, the story development, which you should. And I think the stakes aren't there. And then things happen. You have any time to breathe because it's almost too much at one time.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to show my geekness. I did a rewatch yesterday of episode six, and I counted how many guys are walking out of the gate in the beginning, and there was eight.
Okay. Total of eight.
Three guys died that were like we never seen before.
Of course, yeah.
I was like, oh, who was that just died? Oh, that was
nobody.
Like, that was one of the other guys. Yeah, the guy to the polar bear, to the white bear.
Yeah.
Then there was another guy that died on the ice.
On the ice.
Fell in the ice.
On the ice.
And the third guy fell off the side of the cliff somehow, and they had never shown him when they were all just standing there picking their noses.
Just pugging
it, and I was like, what the?
I really thought, and then the whole sequence, someone should have. Besides, who was the main guy that... besides him, there should have been someone else that should have bitten at that point.
I thought Jorah was going to die.
Even when I seen what Tormund, he's being pulled in, like, oh, here we go. But he got saved at the end. It's like, it's a lot of all these fake outs, which, oh, come on, dude. All that going on.
I didn't want Tormund to die, but you know what? It looks like he's going to die at the end of the friggin' this episode.
He may be. I doubt he's dead now.
I doubt he's dead too, but that's another stupid
but that's the thing where
TV trope.
And it really adds weight to the scene. When none of these people die, it's like, then who cares? Like I said, it was a ridiculous plan to begin with.
Right.
It was stupid. And it
made no sense. There was no logic.
And it came to fruition in the next episode. We'll get to that later.
Right, but they dimed it out in the next episode, which I thought was bad writing once again.
Oh, no, I agree. It was really bad. But they had this whole thing where with the surrounding the water, right? And this is a part where I was confused. I mean, you guys can help me out here. So, you know, they run across the frozen lake or whatever. They're stuck in a little rock or an island, whatever you want to call it. And they don't move. They just wait there. Why? I don't know why they're waiting.
No, they were waiting because they were progressing toward them and they started falling in the lake, right? So something inside these whites told, I guess maybe since we found, here's another thing before you go to that, is the stupid white that they actually captured, right?
Right.
They kill the lieutenant that's got that's supposedly controlling all these whites, and every white dies except one.
Right. It's convenient.
What in the flip?
It's convenient, yeah.
No, but okay, so if you kill him, but this guy just happened to be created by somebody else,
basically,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Basically.
And really, if you look at, like, if I want to look at it like vampires, right, that he turns, vampires, like, if a vampire turns, he has a coven of vampires that are with him, according to vampire lore.
Right.
That this technically should have happened. He should be commanding his troop of guys that he turned, and it just makes no. It's once again lazy, horrible writing.
It's lazy. It's completely lazy. And they look cool. Yeah, was it a cool scene? Yeah, it was.
It was a great scene.
But
the other part is okay. After that, they capture the white. They run up. There's some holes all the way around in the ice somehow.
Right.
Maybe just there's too many whites on the and there's weight, but
I guess
again another stupid thing is there's no meat on these guys, so really there's no weight to a lot of these fighters. There's some that have weight on them, some don't. They fall in and then they somehow got smart and said, "Oh, we shouldn't go any farther because the ice is going to cave in."
I guess I don't know how they communicate, so maybe there's something there. I don't know.
Right?
Who knows? Because
all the lieutenants ended up on that hill all of a sudden.
No, up there. But I mean, I don't know.
No, but there was a lieutenant with a bunch of.
It was weird. The whole thing was kind of weird.
Right.
And then so the waiting, and so obviously Jeremy gets back. They send the Raven, and it gets the ancient tweet, and it gets tweeted out. They didn't help. You know, hashtag Daenerys Dragons, and here she comes, the last moment, the old Deus Ex Machina thing, the trope that we see 1,000 times, saves at the last second, which is pretty cocky. We knew that was going to happen.
Right.
But I didn't quite like that. But
I didn't
whatever.
Like that either. I didn't like Jon Snow, like, not getting on the dragon and then riding back into town on Benjen's friggin' horse. And you
Benjen,
know,
talk about Deus Ex Machina.
Right.
Jesus Christ, that was just the most random thing ever in the history of that show.
He didn't even know Benjen was alive. He hasn't seen Benjen. The only person that saw Benjen.
He came out of nowhere.
Right. The only person that saw Benjen who was friggin' Bran, Benjen was helping him escape when Hodor was holding the door.
Yeah, exactly. And
okay.
He leaves and comes back out of nowhere.
No, but he's like, I thought that he was dead because they were fighting. Remember that Mira was dragging his ass through the forest, and Benjen was like, "I'm going to go fight these guys." And there was a billion of them coming, and then you never saw Benjen again. Seeing him no more.
And he pops in and pops out just as quick. Hey guys, I'm here.
He's got somewhere. He gets his bolo made out of flames.
Which that's fine. I don't care about that.
But I think it's stupid because that wasn't his weapon before. So where's that coming from?
This is weird. And he puts Jon Snow on the horse. Hey, go away. He's like, jump on me. There's no time. There's no time. The White Walkers are like 100 feet over.
There's no time.
I don't have one second to jump on the horse. But I got 15 to go back and fight them so I can die.
Right.
It was just so convenient. It was really bad. What that reminds me of
is like in 24 when Jack is like screaming. He's got like a prisoner, right? And he's like, who do you work for? And the guy's like, I work for And then, like, out of nowhere, some guy reaches out and shoots him in the head. And, like, his friend shoots him in the head. He had no information anyway.
Damn, he almost had it.
Damn it.
So, I mean, like I said, it was those
it was stupid.
It was those dumb tropes that we see in a lot of other TV shows. No, also. Even in movies.
You could, was, like, a lot of shit from 24.
A lot of shows like that, you know. We're not used to seeing Game of Thrones. So it was kind of weird seeing that out of the episode. Weird. It was really weird and out of place and lazy, you know, and God, it was just disappointing. It was cool to watch. Don't get me wrong.
I love the show.
With the fire, it was breathing. That was awesome. I love that shit. And then because we had Tom Brady, the Night King, you know, launching that.
That was another thing, right? I'm gonna just investigate that for a second, okay? So Tom Brady, the Night King, or Dan Marino, the Night King, gets up there on the edge, and the guy brings over a spear to him, right? One spear. He takes that crap, and he puts it right in Rhaegal's friggin' right in his neck, and Rhaegal crashes into the ice and goes down into the ice underwater, and he's gone forever, right? So then he stands up again, and his little guy brings over another spear for him, and then he throws it at Dany with all the guys on the dragon, and all of a sudden she realizes he's throwing the spear and does a loop de loop, and it was like friggin' that was a Top Gun trope right there. It was like, you know, Mustang.
The Night King was 1.2%, so he's not Tom Brady. He's Colin Kaepernick.
There's no seatbelt sew on those dragons, buddy. Some guy's gonna fall off, right? Maybe there's another red shirt that could fall off.
Should have been one popping up there, right? So it was just a weird episode.
And the last thing with the dragon. Mm-hmm. Somehow these guys can't go in the water.
Of course.
Okay. It's been said several times they won't go in the water, but somehow they got chains on the dragon in the water and hauled his ass out of the lake.
That's what I've been saying. Where the fuck did these chains come from?
Am I crazy?
And I told Chewie about it. Chewie had a theory, I guess. Whatever.
Let me hear your and you yell and you laugh at me for liking wrestling, Chewie.
Yeah, I do laugh at you, man. Get over it already.
So let's back up. So the chains, right? So this is what I'm thinking. The Night King's like, all right, grab your spears, get your swords. Hey, go bring the chains. Well, what are we going to bring the chains for? Don't worry. We'll need the chains. And here, dragon goes down. See, I told you this is exactly why we bring the chains, these giant chains, which came out of nowhere. Because he knew a dragon was going to appear, I guess. Right. And he knew he had to go on the water to dig it out. Well, I don't know, whatever. It was just like, where did this come from?
This episode, I'm telling you, was chock full of just stuff.
And I'm thinking, okay, and this is not talk to Chewie about this. Okay, so did he know? So was all this? There's only way you could explain it. Does Night King somehow share a vision-esque power like the Three-Eyed Raven or whatever you want to call it? And he sees things. He knew the dragon was going to be there. He was just waiting all his time, anticipating it. And I don't know. And he had to change it because he knew.
That's a huge stretch.
There is no other explanation that makes sense because it doesn't take him 5 seasons to get to the wall.
There's no point
to walk in the wall because they know they can't get through it.
Right.
Without a dragon, because there's certain elements from the book that I'm not introduced into here. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing that makes sense, and it's that same spot that happened in the vision with the children, with the, you know, everything that's been going on. It's always been at that location with that arrow-shaped mountain.
So either A, he does have the ability to see.
Possibly. I mean, we don't know enough.
And or he was just thinking, last time I was here, there were dragons. So I'm just waiting until one comes about, and hopefully one does before I go to the wall. I mean, it just sounds kind of funny.
It's the dumbest crap ever.
It's weird. It's not.
You know what? Like I said, I think it's just lazy. There's other things that are lazy writing that were in this episode that I haven't gotten to yet. But that's some lazy ass writing.
It was weird. I probably won't explain it. They shouldn't even bother explaining it because I don't think they come up with something intelligible to really explain why that came to be honest with you. Very awkward. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see if they even attempt it. Don't be wrong. And there was no, I did say I would have been great, and it was great to see the dragon's eye pop open. We talked about that before the episode ran.
Thought that was
good. And I was like, oh, it'd be great to do that, and boom, they did it. It was awesome. That was cool.
Right, but kind of predictable. Cool.
It was, but I wanted to see that.
I wanted to see it too. But that's not my point in all this, is that episode just, from front to back, was loaded with that kind of stuff.
It was an entertaining mess.
Right. Mess.
Good, it was a mess.
Good call.
Yeah, but it was entertaining. Don't get me wrong. It's still a cool episode, but it was a mess. And I think it was a microcosm of the whole season entirely with a lot of these inconsistencies and plot points that don't make any sense and
convenient. And the time issues.
Yeah, convenient storytelling and tropes and whatever we see. It was weird, but it was still fun, entertaining, whatever the case is. But obviously, that sets it up. And let's get to the finale, which I thought was a much improved episode.
I agree.
Not great, and I have some things on gripes. We'll get to it.
I have a few gripes with it too. But, yeah, but there was some stuff that I thought was they did a lot better in that episode. It almost feels to me like the writers said, "Hey, we need to write this episode," and that's where we are. Not talking about the dialogue. I'm talking about the way the story was stretched out. I had some problems with the actual meeting of the party. When they presented the white to Cersei.
Well, let's get to some of that part. Before that, Chewie, what I know we talked a lot here, and you haven't gotten too much a word in, but what was the biggest standout of the finale? Besides the wall. We know that's the best part. We'll get to that. But what stood out of one thing that stood out besides that, one thing that's like, okay, yeah.
I think the build-up to that meeting, because, I mean, we had the intro, kind of like an episode where all these people, all these pieces were finally, you know, one place all there at once. The Hound, Brienne, Podrick, Bronn. I mean, and the way that Daenerys came in the dragon. I mean, that whole sequence was very, very cool to see.
It was well, I mean, as much as I hated it, and I'll get to why, but you're right. It was really good tension building on that scene. And mm-hmm. Another great little conversations between Tyrion and Bronn.
I felt like Cersei actually the Tyrion and Bronn stuff I loved.
That was great. It's great.
I actually thought Cersei kept that interesting for me because Cersei is Lena Headey, who plays Cersei, does a fantastic job being a heel, and she just had some great facial interactions with the other cast members that I thought were amazing. I thought Euron Greyjoy again was good, if not great.
I love that guy.
You know, my only issue with him is the guy liner, but that's a whole other thing.
We got the Hound and the Mountain.
Yeah. That was
cool.
No, but you know what? The Hound has been on this whole season.
Yeah, he's been on fire. Since last season.
What do you say? Like very economical. He doesn't talk much, but when he talks, it's always something
great.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's great. I hate to see him go. If he goes, who knows?
I don't know.
But that was a cool bit. Him and Malin.
We'll ever accuse him of whinging. That's for sure.
No, he's on whingingless.
the interaction with Tyrion and Cersei was a great scene.
That was a really good scene.
Peter Dinklage should be nominated for an Emmy for that, just for that scene where he's talking about how he misses his niece and nephew, and just that interaction between those two. I thought that was great.
Well, I want to circle back to that meeting in a second, but let's go back to the outside. So obviously, we're all there, all the major players, Jon Snow, with the plea in their case, and. This is what bothers me, because it goes back to the episode which I ranted about, the dumbest plan of all time, which came to fruition in episode 6, which you ranted about.
Right.
It was just so completely unnecessary to go through any of this. There was no reason to bring this White Walker back.
And you know what? I was going to mention this. I'm glad I had this. I had this in my brain. They stopped. They have this the White in a box, right? Locked in a box on a cart. And he says to one of the Lannister, Wiener Schnitzels there, which I thought they all got burned, but that's me and my craziness. I'm sure there's another red shirt from Lannister somewhere. But he says, if you touch this, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And then they walk up, they all walk up the stairs, and they go stand and wait for Cersei to show up. Then Cersei shows up with her party. I think it's Qyburn, Sarah, Gregor Clegane, and Jaime, right, and some random Lannisters.
The Mountain.
Gregor Clegane, right. Yeah. And then finally, Dany flies in on her dragon, right, and then freaking the Hound runs back down the steps and carries the freaking box up the steps, and I'm like, what's the point?
Should I have
it? No, it reminded me of like he was some kind of court jester or something. Where he's like, let me go entertain everybody for a second. So then he goes down, he grabs the box, he brings the box up, and then it takes him entire... I timed this, by the way, because I went back and watched him again. It took him, like, 15 seconds fooling around with this box to get it open. Oh, take this side off, then you take the metal wire out of this side, and then he opens it, and then the guy doesn't come out, and then he kicks it over, and the guy comes rushing out. Which is another trope, by the way.
It is. Him rushing out looked cool. But this is my beef. It's like, okay, so... We talked about this because in the trailers after episode 6 they show up, they go finding the meat and whatever, and her army's all there, Unsullied are there, and the Rocky show up. Let's lay this out here, right? So we got Cersei, who's the biggest villain, the person who who sits on the throne that Daenerys wants.
Right.
Daenerys is at her doorstep, right?
Right.
Daenerys brings entire armies who outnumbers them severely,
a billion to one,
with both dragons, right? Of which we've heard Jaime say we've got no chance in hell. Even Cersei probably admits the same thing at her current state. So they're there. They took the time to go. It's not like they went out of the way. It's not like they say, we're going, you know, let's U-turn back to Cersei. They're already there with the armies. Fine. She shows up with the dragons. The dragon, well, at least, rides in with Dragon, whatever. Right into the
arena. She rides on Drogon.
Drogon, right there. Cersei and her main party are right in front of her. Land, burn, done. It's a wrap. Right. Why are we having conversations?
Right.
Your army is already there, ready to strike. You got Cersei 10 feet in front of you with them. Everyone else, Jaime and everyone who's there, anybody, Euron. Quick burn, they all die. No one knows about it. They get the army saved to go take King's Landing. Okay, let's go to the north. That's it. Why are we doing this song? And from a writer's perspective, why is the point of this?
Right.
So they can show us what Cersei's going to play a trick. They could have just avoided that completely. She could have just avoided Cersei, gone in north, forget to bring back that stupid thing with Cosmo Dragon, go to the north, and deal with Cersei afterwards, which they're going to have to do anyway. This doesn't make any sense.
Right. What's the point? Cersei wouldn't go attack all these. They've already got their part.
They're not there after she's going to regroup and let her take whatever. You're going to come back down, kick her ass after.
Right.
You're there. You're already there. You're going to leave, come all the way back after you lost a bunch of. Obviously, you're going to have a lot of casualties, come back.
But you wouldn't have that scene where everybody.
But you don't need that scene. Ultimately, you never needed that scene. You could have done it so many different ways about wasting. God, this is a waste of time. It was a waste of time to give some drama. It was a cool scene. I liked it. Totally unnecessary. And it was just dumb. It's dumb. It makes no sense.
No, there was a lot of back and forth there that wasn't good. My God. And like I said, if it wasn't for Cersei, that would have been an episode 6 silliness part for me.
I guess that's a hard to swallow. And it's not that was a poorly written scene. But it was just a unnecessary scene based on what they established 3-4 episodes prior. And that's the problem with this season. But
I think Euron Greyjoy saved that friggin' scene.
That was really, he was great. He's always good. He's always
hilarious. He made a
I thought that was cool. And I thought they kind of, the lesson that scene, once he finds out the Hero plan, I'm like, oh man, it would be cool if he just said, forget this, I'm out of here. You guys are on your own.
Right.
I'm out. I thought that was great. And they ruined it by saying, oh, there's a purpose behind. I'm like, ah, oh, man, I would have been cool to have him like be like, nah.
Or they can't swim. Why does he gotta tell anybody about what he's up to? Why don't you just have him show up and surprise everybody next season? That's
you're right. That would have been cool if he showed up. Yeah, right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, agreed.
All this foreshadowing and fan service that goes on is nuts. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. So now they're going to incorporate the band of sellswords, which we all know that sellswords are not the most faithful or reliable.
Is that the Golden Army? Is that what you're talking
about? Was it the Golden Force?
The Golden Company.
Golden Company. I'm sorry. Yeah, there we go.
Sorry.
Yeah. Something like that. Which we know that's the plan now. Which is cool. I like the plan. Don't get me wrong.
It's a good plan, but you didn't need to give that away.
Exactly. Give it away. I even have this mean to give it.
But here's what I'm thinking, right? Say they go up and they fight the look, I'm just kind of supposing what happens next season. They go up and they beat the Whites.
Well, hold that thought. We'll get to that as far as next season goes.
No, let me finish what I'm saying, though. So wouldn't it have been a lot cooler if they were like, okay, now we're going to go kill, you know, we just kicked the ass of the Whites. Now we're going to go south and we're going to kick some Lannister butt. And they go down there and all of a sudden there's the Golden Company and they're not ready for this because they just lost a bunch of people against the Whites. So, you understand what I'm saying? Maybe they lost another dragon. You know, that's my point.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And I said they were rushing in. And I agree with you. I mean, you make good points.
I just think it's poor writing.
It is. And like I said, which is why this season suffered.
They don't need to tease anybody. The people are going to watch this show.
Of course, I agree. No. We lack the surprises. And that's what I kind of lacked this season.
They blew it.
But this is on these potential surprises. So I want to backtrack to the conversation where Tyrion's having with Cersei, right?
Right.
Great scene.
Awesome.
With the wine and, you know, you're pregnant, yada, yada, yada. So now there's a scene, and maybe you guys can help me out. So I'll skip to the end because, you know, it's not a big deal. But obviously we finally get the union of the Snow and Daenerys. We've all been waiting for it, I guess, whatever.
You guys couldn't see me, but I just rolled my eyes. Go ahead.
So, you know, obviously, but we have Tyrion kind of lurking there. Right, like, what was that about? Can anybody help me out with that?
Is he creepier than Creepy Bran, by the way, in that scene?
That was weird. Any thoughts? I mean,
it wasn't creepy, but I think that he might have, you know, made another arrangement for Cersei. And I think uniting. What was that?
So you're with that too, as far as I've been hearing that.
I mean, it's either that or he loves her, which I don't think it makes sense.
That's what I'm thinking, because we never got to see the end of that meeting, right? Between him and Cersei.
She's questioned his loyalty.
I'm pregnant, and they cut it off.
Exactly. So we don't know what transpired, right?
Right. Exactly.
So I get it.
He comes back, okay.
He made a deal.
I'll play ball.
I think he made a deal. At the end of the day.
Yes, right,
but then
absolutely.
Why is she telling? Here again. She's telling Jamie about the Golden Company, but says nothing about nothing about the deal she just cut with Tyrion. That makes no damn sense.
Well, she didn't tell him about the deal.
How about the fact that she threatened to kill both of them?
I'll keep it that. She didn't tell him about Euron either. So there's things that maybe she hasn't had on. She wants to keep close to the vest, which I get. I'm fine with that. But there could be something there. I mean, does he? Which I think would be great if he turns on them, Tyrion anyway. And it's some kind.
I agree, but I don't think it's going to happen because I think that they've already proven that there's too much fan service going on.
This is about my own personal theory that I've heard nothing. This is my take on this. This is for whatever it's worth. So Tyrion, obviously, there's conversations that he's had where we're talking to Daenerys. Obviously, there has differences of opinions as far as how she should rule, whatever. He's on
the line of succession.
Exactly. The whole scene is just other ways of determining yada yada yada. Maybe he plays down both sides. He's going to sell both Cersei and Daenerys out and have both wiped out. And he's like, you know what? We need something new, something fresh.
I'm the king.
not the king, but he can obviously usher an era where...
The other thing is he's been sitting talking to
democracy
Varys
and all that.
Too.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right? And so I think there's something there. Maybe he's like, you know what? It's clear that he's disillusioned with how she's handling things. Daenerys, and I don't think he's really believing that she's going to change the wheel.
But he also knows that his sister is crazy too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So. I think she's going to say he's playing both sides, and I think he's going to. At the end of the day, he's going to sell both of them out.
It's an interesting thought.
Potentially,
maybe I'm not sure what the purpose of that scene was. Again,
there's something there.
It's another damn trope. Okay,
it is, but they put it out there, so it's going to hold some kind of water, but. That's interesting. Like I said, we can speculate. Maybe he is in love with her, and that's all it is. And he's just jealous. And okay, whatever.
What if the world's greatest athlete, Gendry, becomes the next king?
I think you know what. Speaking of tropes, at the end of the Night King wins. This is how it's going to end. Based on what we're seeing now, the Night King wins, and he turns on the throne, and Gendry's still alive somehow, and he runs back really fast like Superman, and the world goes backwards in time, and it starts over, and they fix it. They save Lewis Lane, and save Westeros the same fashion.
Here's another thought about Gendry. How about if you think about it, he's really... take the Targaryens out of the picture, okay? He's really the king of Westeros. Think about it.
He is.
No, but I'm just telling you, he is.
He is. But
none of her friggin' kids.
No.
None of her kids are.
Hold on, tough guy. Yeah. He's an illegitimate son of Robert Baratheon. So no, he's not in the line of succession.
He's not
under any scenario.
He's a bastard.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He would have to be legitimized, and there has to be a king or queen to do that.
Yeah, that's the only reason why Jon Snow now can hold claim because there was a marriage. Because
he's actually a legitimate son of Rhaegar Targaryen.
I thought that was
no. It has to be legitimate.
How about Bran standing at the wedding there? Creepy
Bran. Let's get to that scene because, you know, Bran, he's a plot device. That's all he is now. He just conveniently throws things out. But it's probably we had Sam coming in. This is I alluded to when I had the whole I told you moment, was I knew that was just going to happen. First, Sam takes credit for the idea. Damn bastard.
Hey, you know what? Before you start with that.
I ran across it. No, you didn't, you fat bastard. Your girlfriend hooked you up.
Right, but why is she... credit. How can she read?
I don't know. We talked about that. It was weird.
But number two, did you see him having trouble getting in that door?
No,
the door only opened like a quarter of the way, and then he like squeezed through, and I was like, what's that all about?
It sounds like he talks from experience.
Listen, pal. No, I just thought it was weird. Why did he open the door all the way?
First of all, why is he still fat in that era? But whatever, either way. He doesn't eat nothing, and he walks all day long. I don't get it.
We haven't seen that kid of his since last season, so there's that.
Either way, but that scene alone, that scene which I hated. That scene, another wasted scene, pure exposition to please the fan, to confirm to the fans.
Right, oh, fan by service. The way,
but you don't have to do that. When Bran talks to John and tells him, that's the reveal at that time. Well, now you got to do it twice. You did it to us once, and now
Bran proves that he's not all knowing because he says, "Oh, he's sand." Because yeah, he's exactly. The bastard.
And of course, wait a minute.
No, I have to disagree.
The what?
Because he's not omniscient where he knows everything. He has to go look and see certain events.
Fine.
So it's he's not a god. So
he's a tool.
Right, but immediately he was there, dude.
Well, because he focused on it. This is fine. He's talking about the event. I'm fine with that.
But he's not all knowing. Like, I know everything. I know what's going to happen. I'm good.
He's a guy who has access to Google, doesn't know how to use Google yet. So you got to kind of tell him to type this in. Oh, there it is, and boom, it comes out. That's what Bran is. He's ancient Google, like they have ancient Twitter with the Ravens. That's basically what he is. And
he's like Eli Manning without direct TV.
You want to know something? Ask him, and he'll look it up on Google. He doesn't know right away, but he can find you the answers. That's exactly what he is. But that scene is like, it's a weird scene because why is he telling the fat bastard?
I just felt like it wasn't it.
And it's just like...
They're best friends all of a sudden out of nowhere.
It's just pure exposition to
RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's fan service. Right. That's like, hey guys, okay, we've confirmed. He's the legitimate son.
How about this? He comes into the room and he calls him by Samwell Tarly. And he's like,
"Yeah, exactly.
I met you once. How do you know my name?"
Hey, well, he's like, "You're three-eyed Raven." Okay, sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no idea. I don't know what that is. I was like, that's the third time they've used that line, by the way.
But, you know, whatever. I mean, it's funny. But, I mean, it's just
it's stupid writing again.
Oh, it is, but it's a bad scene. It's a necessary scene because he's going to have to tell John that. And that's when you say that reveal is when you actually tell the guy who's affected by it, not some fat bastard got nothing to do with anything, just so he can say... Use that line. I told you guys, and I told you, the dumbest thing ever. Oh, I saw that in the book. How convenient that he saw it when his girlfriend told him that time, because that would have gone the waste if he was able to use that information. That's all it was, just to combine. It was dumb. He could have been in the same room when he told John. He said, wait, John, hold up a second. Fine, use it that way. Now you got to do it twice. It's just dumb. It was stupid. I hated that scene. It's dumb. And Brandon,
by the way, do you think he's going to have any enmity toward Danny for burning his dad and his brother, Dickon?
Nah.
Right, but I'm just saying that doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they make it some random house then? Why wouldn't they have it be the like some other friggin' house?
What do you mean?
Why would it be the Tarly house? Why wouldn't they burn somebody from? Why would they have the Tarlys? I forgot the name of the Lady Olenna, the Tyrell house.
Right.
Why would they have him turn against it? It doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is written really poorly.
Oh, it is. I'm saying. No, you're going to argue for me. I totally agree. And that seems just a microcosm of what they've done all year, giving us really stupid shit. But let's back up. Obviously, that was towards the end and all that.
Sorry.
Gray, and we'll find out what this guy. So either way. We talked about, obviously, John and, now, let me go back. Do you think there's a baby being made over there? Are we getting that?
Yeah, it's too.
Oh, a baby dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? Getting the.
No, it's too obvious.
You don't think so? I don't know.
No, I think it is.
It is obvious, but I mean, it makes sense based on what the.
At least he's not going to mount the world.
No, I don't know.
That was some dumb lines from season one.
Yeah, or some other things. Whatever. But the other thing that what was funny is just funny. I still, although he's stuck in the friend zone, he's still trying to cock block. And we got George telling him, oh, you can't go with him. You should go this way because he's like, man, stop it. It's too late. You have no chance, man. No chance. Let Jon Snow do what he do, man. Give the man some love, dude.
But you know, Jon Snow and him had, had a nice moment. Remember when Jon Snow tried to get the sword?
But when he wants the girl he loves, come on, man. I get it. If, on his shoes, I do the same thing. But come on. Just it's over, dude. You're not getting any. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. But you know, hey, you got to try. I got to give him points for that, dude. I got to give him points for that. So the other thing, which the big thing, obviously, we talked about, you know, Littlefinger and all that, was that the whole storyline, I guess, with Arya and Sansa and Littlefinger and whatever, which I thought we knew Littlefinger was going to die at some point, obviously. Right. It was not, that's not a big surprise.
I think he needed to, they needed to do something with some with a big character at the end of this season.
He was expendable. One,
he was expendable. Yeah. He hasn't done squat in two seasons. Yeah.
But I just I didn't like how it came out. That was executed poorly. The whole everything about
I thought
it.
I thought Aidan Gillen did a fantastic. He's
great.
Job.
His
I thought even him begging at the end, I thought that was good. But the killing of him, I thought was weird. The way it was blocked out, I felt like. She kind of came over in an awkward way, and
she just sliced him and then throw whatever. Right. I mean, whatever. Yeah, it's not a big deal. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. But
no, I just thought it was kind of awkward. I would have liked to see her go up and come behind him, and then he say a few things, and she just go, "I've had it with this guy," and do it that way. She's a friggin' faceless man. She could kill him a million ways.
She could, but what I mean,
I also would have liked to see her kill him with needle. But that's just me. Not that stupid dagger that...
Well, that makes sense. It's because that's the dagger that started it all. Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm for that. I think that was fine. It's just that the whole... I don't think it was executed right. The payoff was too soon for that.
Right.
And I'm thinking... And I just learned this before the show started. There was a deleted scene, which they talked about, with where Sansa visits Bran... And I guess she asks him about what's going on, and he's the one that tells her about Littlefinger. But they totally just stayed on the cutting room floor.
That was just too much information.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm thinking, okay, so
that would have made more sense, right?
It would have made more sense because I mean, this girl's plotting because now it's not knowing that information right now. So basically, we're led to believe that either they just came to the senses or that they were just putting on the show for some reason.
I did like the reveal there. I thought that was good. What do you think, or how do you plead?
That was so. I was expecting to hear dun dun dun. I was like, oh my god. I mean, come on, bro, really? It's funny. I mean, I didn't mind, but it was just funny. I mean,
hey, at least
in my head, I'm hearing the music. Going, huh?
Look.
The gasp in the world.
At least he got his moment to like, his death scene, okay, which I thought was cool. I mean, unlike Stannis Baratheon, who just died off screen.
Yeah, he died off screen. That was kind of weird, yeah.
Which I thought was strange.
Yeah, still kind of weird.
I just felt like he... Because he was a major character in the show, too.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I just felt like at least he got a death scene. I thought it was pretty good.
No, and Littlefinger's been
on... I did like it that his Knights of the Vale didn't protect him.
Yeah, that was cool. But again, but it goes back to
what... I would have loved to see little Lyanna Mormont come out and say something.
Oh, I know. Where the hell has she been? Jesus Christ.
Right. They mentioned her, though. In
yeah, but hey, bring her out.
Where's she been? What happened to Ghost all season?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, did they?
Maybe Ghost. Maybe they don't have the money for the ghost if they're spending that much on
the budget. You got to cut budget, dude. It's costing 20. I don't know. It was weird, but where is she at? But I mean, the whole thing with her, because this is why I looked at it. When Sansa bought him off the charges, right, it was stuff that she already knew.
Right.
Why go through all this song and dance? She knew. I mean, she was there when he pushed her down the thing. I mean, it's not news to her. She didn't, Bran didn't tell her that.
Well, we are looking at them doing this, so.
Right, but I'm saying, but she this is a charge she's bringing up, which she could have done this months ago.
Yeah,
totally. It's what I'm saying. It was kind of weird. It wasn't executed properly. I like the idea behind it. I'm not saying it's the worst thing ever, but it was kind of weird and whatever. I would kind of like the scene I can drag out to next season a little bit more.
Right.
I thought that would have been cool, but. Whatever.
I don't know. He had to go.
Someone had to go. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Someone
they were
had
to either going to. Gonna, it was either going to be him or it was going to be Cersei, probably. But I'm just saying you got to kill one protagonist. They're not killing the Night King.
Oh, I will say this. I was disappointed Jaime didn't die.
Oh man, that one scene.
I think that's coming.
Right? I thought it was a goner. I thought it was a wrap.
I mean, because I was just sitting. I'm like, as she gets the head nod, I'm like, he pulls out the sword. I'm like. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's what exactly I thought. That was a dun, dun, dun. In a good way.
Right, but then all of a sudden he's... But then all of a sudden he's on a horse and it's snowing. And I'm like, what the...
Well, he just left and just whatever. But I mean, that was a great scene. I'm like, dude, that would have been pitch perfect from the die right there. perfect. And I thought he was, and I would have loved to see it. I did Jamie Go, but I thought, oh, here it is. She kills him. Man, that's brutal. Great. But, they dropped the ball.
But I mean, obviously.
He fumbled at the goal line.
She's not that cold towards her only ally family left.
Yeah, but.
Maybe they used the red shirt. Used the red shirt Lannister instead.
I get it, but I'm saying, I'm going to kill somebody in my life. He's tired of almost killing his brothers. But. I mean, what's she gonna think? He's gonna leave? What's he gonna do?
No,
he's
gonna both go. Both guys said just kill me, and she didn't kill me.
I'm fine with the Tyrion thing because it's whatever.
But she's crazy.
But this is what I'm looking at. Jamie, what's Jamie gonna do? Go tell people she's betraying him, and she's gonna allow him to do that. It just, you know what I'm saying, it's weird. It doesn't make sense. That's why it would be awesome if he died right there. The impact would have been great.
Right, because he'd be
What is Danny going to do if she has information? She ain't leaving the north to come back south. Okay, I got to take
it. I know that, but it's something there. At least to prepare for it on the way back, and then not surprised by it.
I mean, Jamie said it best. They lose. She wins, they still lose.
Oh, no, of course.
With or without the Golden Company.
Oh, no, of course. But I mean, I'm just saying, but why, this is a big surprise. Why allow Jamie to go out and do that? You know what I'm saying? Why take a chance? Who knows? Maybe they change their mind, come back down, kick their ass, and go back to the north. I don't know.
It's weird.
Or figure something out. They can prepare for it or whatever, strategy-wise. And
the
whatever.
More I talk about this episode, I'm talking myself into
it. No, it was still a good episode. But I'm saying, I think George Martin would have offed Jamie at that point. That would have been perfect. What an opportunity to kill somebody, and they just
complete his redemption right then and there.
Exactly, he finally realized it. And it was that guy who realized his girl's finally is batshit crazy. This is the final straw. I'm done. Exactly, and boom, kills him. And I think that would have been great.
But then after he left, she gave him this look like, go mess him. You know,
she's like, fine, go away
from me.
He's like, you'll be back. I know you will. It was cool, and he finally sees the snow falling. So obviously, winner's there.
By the way, is he on Arya's list?
No.
He's not. Okay. Yeah. So now there's a lot of theories.
So who's left on that list? It's just Rhaegar Clegane.
Cersei,
and the assassin, and the executioner.
Yeah, I think.
Ilyn Payne.
Yeah, I think those are three.
Was the Mountain on her list?
Yes.
From what?
She put him on there
for a time at time in Harrenhal, because
maybe pork pie. I think right? Maybe. No, not pork pie. The butcher's boy.
Yeah, wasn't that? Oh, that was the Hound.
That was the Hound, my friend.
He's on the list. Trust me, he's on the list.
He did do so. Yeah. I think you know where he was from. His was when they were at Harrenhal. That he saw him do some. That was the second mountain.
He did something.
The first mountain. There was a one dude. Yeah, that was like a 7-footer. Mm-hmm. That guy died. Yeah. They had another one that had a huge beard.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third mountain is this guy that's been the Icelandic guy.
Strongest man in the world, competitor in there anyway. But I guess I forgot where he did, but he's on the list. So, like I said, I mean, overall, it was a good episode. I still liked it. And of course, we saw the wall. I mean, that was amazing. I love seeing that. It was dragging, so yeah, I'm all over it.
But again, these guys are on the top of the wall, and they're like, oh no! And they're all running.
They're not dead.
They didn't make it out to the bottom.
They just ran to the side. They'll make their way down. But obviously, they'll circle back, but they're not dead, obviously. But it was a really cool scene, and the blue flame.
It was amazing, dude.
Oh, he's riding the Night King. Like a stud riding that thing, he's tearing it down, and you're like, oh shit moment, like, okay, now it's real. Now it just got real. Now the stage is fully set for next season,
right? But even if they got away, where are they gonna go? They're gonna run back to Winterfell. They're all gonna be like, is Gendry with them?
Gendry's already there. What are you talking about? He's already there. It's Flashpoint. He's going back to the time when he was
is
born.
Gendry gonna run ahead?
So you know.
Poor
but so going forward, just quickly, how did this resolve? I mean, how do you guys see this playing out? Now we've seen a lot. It's only 6 episodes left, unfortunately. Chu, start with you. How is this ending? Like, what do we give us a quick synopsis of next season?
Oh gosh, I mean, everybody dies. John left. John's the only one left. He's the king.
Here's what I think is at the end of the. at the end of the series, in the last episode, they have this long, great big long goodbye where every single character comes in and sees Jon Snow and says, goodbye! And just like Lord of the Rings, right?
That's not happening.
No, I'm kidding. Actually, what happens is Jon Snow's walking along the beach on a horse with Daenerys Targaryen, and they see like the Statue of Liberty. And he says, God damn you all the hell!
Oh yeah, I think we see like Bran in like a Kaiser Soze moment, and he's actually the Night King.
Kaiser Soze.
And like that, whew, he's gone.
Exactly. The end.
I guess the first three episodes would be them against the White Walkers, and the last three, did you think like maybe they try to fight them, they get pushed back and end up all back at King's Landing trying to defend it? I mean, or
I don't know.
All the way back there? Wow.
I mean, they just fight them off, they win, and then they go back to King's Landing to fight Cersei? I mean, obviously they're going to fight Cersei at some point. Something's going down. I mean, I don't know how they, or you think that she'll send the troops behind them to, you know.
I have no clue.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they approach that part of the episode.
I honestly don't want to think about it. I'm so...
Everybody dies, that's for right. sure. No, maybe not. The way the show's been going, no one's dying. It's going to be status quo. Right, it's between Cersei and the mountain.
The Double D's, they don't have a book to go through, but they have... You know, the major swaps as far as who makes it at the end. They know exactly who's going to be there.
I guess.
Actually, I think they're going to have a spin-off show out of it called Tormund Loves Brienne.
That'd be awesome.
That's pretty awesome. I actually enjoyed that part of the
I think
show.
They should have, like, a bachelorette with Jamie or Tyrion or something. That'd be kind of cool. You know, toss them in there. Yeah, why not, dude? Forget this spinoffs from God knows where back in the day. And
I think people take themselves way too seriously. And my idea for the end of the series is the best.
That'd be awesome.
Damn you all the hell!
We'll see him at the Lincoln Memorial, and there's Jamie in the Lincoln Memorial instead of the Abe Lincoln.
God, that's terrible.
That's how it ends, man. Jesus Christ.
I'm glad we're fans of the show.
the way they're writing, man, I don't want to tell you, dude. I mean, this is how it's going to be.
which is pretty funny because I think I shared with you the Rick and Morty shade.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
On the last episode.
That was funny.
By the way, I haven't gone past Vindicators 3, but I have to tell you that I thought it couldn't get any better than Pickle Rick, but Vindicators 3 was even better.
That was fun.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, really good. It was better than Game of Thrones.
It really was.
But you haven't seen it. Then at the end of this last one, even past the credits, they throw up Game of Thrones writers, and like for a few seconds, and then afterwards, 2011 to 2016.
That's funny. That's awesome.
Just spoiled something great for me. I would have loved to see that. Thanks a lot.
Spoiler alert, dude.
Hey, this is a spoiler full show, man. It ain't my fault.
The whites are made of people. They're people.
But either way, let's end it there. Again, we'll look forward to God knows when. I'm sure there's other shows and all that. Say next week, we'll dive into a couple of shows that we've been watching and all that. With more time, a lot of cool movie stuff I want to get into. That being said, it's been a good season. Mike, anything before we take off?
Huge, huge shout out to my family for putting up with my crap over the last 2 weeks. We went to New York City, had a great time. Getting ready for Christmas already.
We're
going to
put up
with
the crap every week also, man. What about us?
That's true. We suffer.
Listen, man, I'm very selfish. Huge shout out to my buddy Dennis Baratheon, who I talked through a lot of my crackpot theories this season about Game of Thrones. This was a great season. It wasn't the greatest season, but it was a great season. It sucks that it's only 7 episodes long, but you know, hey, it could be the Defenders, right? But
I haven't seen it yet.
Anyway, just want to give
Jesus Christ.
It could be, I want to give a shout out to my website, girlslife.com, GIRLZLYFE.com. We're getting ready for Christmas already. Come get your Christmas gifts. Use discount code, REEL, REEL10 for 10% off.
Nice. Chewy?
Sweet. Definitely, obviously, shout out to my peeps here in Houston with everything that's going on. Thank everyone for the prayers and thoughts as we went through our almost a mini tragedy here with our home. And I always love doing the show and looking forward to next week's more TV talk.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you for listening. Check us out on Facebook. Hopefully I'm back on the reviews now that August is finally over, this dread of a month. Ugh. Back in September, I got it next week. Hopefully, I'm looking forward to that. But check us out next week. We're back on schedule, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.